Writer Chuck Palahniuk is best known for the novel Fight Club and the movie it spawned. What readers might not know is how much of his work relies on real-life stories. He's collected some of those into a new book called Stranger Than Fiction. The stories, like his other work, are at times disgusting, at times shocking, definitely not feel-good fiction. Chuck Palahniuk spoke to us from a studio in Portland, Oregon. He said some pretty provocative things, and we later edited the interview for air. I asked Palahniuk if he's trying to make people react physically to his work.
That is so much the goal of minimalist fiction, is to involve the reader on not just a cognitive level or an emotional level, but on a really physical, sympathetic gut level, so that the reader's reality becomes the reality of the book.
How do people respond then?
I think young people primarily love it because they really expect a lot more from a book. You know, books really have so much competition from movies and music and video games, and they really want a book that will hit them in the same way that, say, a movie or a concert will hit them.
Even if it's not a particularly pleasant feeling?
Young people, I don't think, trust pleasant feelings. And they're at a time in their life when they really want to be tested. They really want to sort of, you know, experience and survive something. They're not really at a point where they're ready to sort of sit back and be lulled to sleep every night. And so really all my books are in some way about finding a way to laugh at really dark things that would otherwise keep us paralyzed, like violence or mutilation or terminal illness, finding some way to reinvent it so that people can laugh at it and then have the freedom around it to actually deal with it or to at least not be paralyzed by it.
In this book, Stranger Than Fiction, you give away this big secret, I think, that many fiction writers have, that they are constantly mining real life for the material of fiction. Do you do that?
Oh, constantly. You know, I'm always either offering people drugs or drinks to get them talking and then writing down the best things they say. I mean, that's my life. I shouldn't have said that.
I just don't, you know, it's hard for me to, I guess, respond to that.
That is the worst part of success, is now that I'm traveling business class on airplanes, the people you sit next to in business class are not going to really spill their guts because they work for Chevron or they're the king of some country or something. And so that's when it really pays to have a pocket full of Vicodins.
Do you really offer people Vicodins on airplanes?
Hell yes. And I offer them not just like passengers, but I'm always amazed when flight crew people take painkillers from me. And then, you know, when people take them and then they drink on top of them because the drinks in first class are free. That's a little frightening.
Are you trying to shock me?
No, I'm not. I'm trying to. It's funny. I'm always just sort of honest because these things don't shock me. I think that's what a writer does, what any artist does, is live their life in sort of an ongoing, listening, watching way so that you can be aware of the best things and the common threads between people's stories, and you can find ways to quilt together these visual details or these thematic details and make something larger that when other people read it, they can see not just the writer's experience, but they can see the experience of what it is to be a human being through the experience of a huge group of people. And I see nothing wrong with that.
You also talk in Stranger Than Fiction about how writing can be a very lonely business, but that its point, for you anyway, is to bring people together.
It is. It's sort of a lonely vocation being presented to people in sort of a lonely presentation, because it really is a one-on-one reader with the book. But ultimately, I think if you do it right, it does draw people together. And the internet has done a great job of pulling together the people who enjoy my books.
You're talking about your fans online, and your fan base seems to be pretty lively, like you're saying. I hear your readings are wild affairs.
They are a trip. They are fantastic. And if the piece that I choose works really well, then more often than not, we have people faint. It is fantastic. It is the ultimate compliment to have people carry it out. I just adore that. That is the sweetest applause I could get. It's like laughter. It's an uncontrolled, involuntary reaction, and in a way that's the most honest reaction.
Do you think of yourself as being on the extreme?
I think of myself as somebody with a fantastically low threshold for boredom, and that my time is fantastically valuable, and my reader's time is even more valuable than my time. I really don't care what you pay for a book, but the amount of time it takes to consume a book, you should be incredibly rewarded for that time.
It's sort of hard for me to believe that you're not going for the extreme here. What is your criteria for something that you think is viscerally great? Meaning, are you going for the most shocking or?
No, the big rule that I was taught in minimalism is that you have got 7 to 10 minutes to read your story. And in that 7 to 10 minutes, you have got to make people laugh. That's most important. You have got to make them feel something, some sympathetic physical reaction. Disease does that. Illness does that. Violence does that. Sex does that. And third and most important is you have got to break their heart at the end. When they're laughing the hardest or when they are feeling the sickest, you have got to break their heart. It's talking about the things that we cannot talk about that is so incredibly powerful. It gives people freedom not just to talk about those things, but to laugh about those things. And that, my God, we don't need anything beyond that.
Chuck Palahniuk's new book is called Stranger Than Fiction. He joined us from a studio in Portland, Oregon. Thank you, Chuck Palahniuk.
Thank you very much.